Welcome to your home for compelling conversation on topics that impact Canada's fire service. I'm retired Fire Chief Tom DeSourcy, and this is Firefighting in Canada, the podcast.
The last time I spoke with Jennifer Grigg, the topic was body language, in particular with the interview process. That was 2021, and in a bit of a where are they now vibe, it's a pleasure to catch up with the writer, the hypnotherapist, coach, teacher, the on and on, but of course, firefighter, always, Jennifer Grigg, joining us from her home in Ontario. Jen, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I am excited to have this conversation.
I think it's important, and I've always said that I want to get to, like, you know, the first obvious question is like an update. What's new? You know, where you been? What's happening? But to ask that question means that there's been some change. You've done a lot of things. And for people that have, I think I want to talk about that in a few moments about your bio and things like that, which is important. But update us. I mean, the last time we spoke, and I know a number of folks in different provinces may have seen you at conferences and such in person, but things have changed since 2020 and the times that we got used to doing face-to-face stuff. We got used to not doing face-to-face stuff. What's changed? What's new today?
Oh my goodness. Where do I start? When we spoke last, I was doing body language and nonverbal communication with fire departments in Ontario, and I had traveled out to BC to the Fire Chiefs Conference there in Penticton, somewhere around that time. I don't know if that was 2020.
Probably before, because we had to shut down. Yeah,
before prior to COVID, obviously. But and then I, with COVID happening and a move across our beautiful province, because my husband started a new job as a fire chief in northwestern Ontario, with that and COVID kind of put things on the back burner as far as the teaching and training I was doing. And I returned to the job that I had left with the fire marshal's office here in Ontario and working with the Ontario Fire College. So I went back to being an instructor for the last 5 years. So yeah, lots of traveling, lots of moving, lots of revolving doors in some cases.
I mean, it's one thing to meet a person at a conference and like yourself. And when we met in person, that was many years ago, when you actually came to British Columbia on a road trip, you know, made this conscious decision that we are going to drive to this speaking engagement from Ontario. And of course, the first head shaking moment was, really? Why would you do that? But an experience, certainly.
Oh, yeah. My husband and I love traveling. We have a fifth wheel trailer. We used to do road trips with our kids and my mom and our dogs and everything else. And I've always been somebody who liked the journey of seeing the different towns and seeing the provinces and driving across the country. So for us, it was kind of a no-brainer. Here's a great reason to do the trip by road. I know a lot of people would be like, hop on a plane and just get there, but all about the journey.
Speaking of the journey, and I know that, as I said, it's important, I think, for everyone to recognize themselves and almost even, you know, write it down, verbalize, go over in your mind your personal bio and remind yourself what you've done. You know, I think it's important because as we get older, we kind of maybe get in that rut and you go back and go, wow. It's like when someone says, what have you done over your life? Where did it all start in the fire career? And remind people, because again, the listener to the podcast may not have been listening in that time 4 years ago when we talked. So tell us about Jen.
Oh my goodness. It's interesting you should ask that, because this morning I'm an avid journaler and I process a lot of thoughts and feelings and come to deep insights in writing. And I've written and self-published a book too. So I've always been a writer and wrote for Canadian Firefighter, which is where our paths originally crossed. I think I did that for 5 or 6 years. And then when I joined the Ontario Fire College and the Fire Marshal's office in the first place, that was one of three things I had to stop doing because it was a conflict of interest. So I couldn't write for the magazine anymore. I couldn't be a volunteer firefighter. And I also couldn't teach R2MR, which had just come in at the time. So that's why I ended up stopping writing for the magazine. But when I was kind of revisiting things this morning, because no matter how many interviews I do or teaching or speaking engagements I do, I still get a little bit of, why am I doing this beforehand? And like, what have I got to say? I'm just little Jenny from Ontario. And like, I get into this whole thing. So, and these thoughts were coming up again this morning, like that imposter syndrome, right? Like, what am I going to say that's important and of value? And it kind of like takes on a life of its own. So I was journaling through some of this morning, and I was thinking about how we met. And then I thought about writing for the magazine and all of the people that I met from across Canada, Arjuna and Vince out on the other coast, and all of these people, Laura King, who I had great connections with and have kept in touch with over the years. I've somehow forgot about these things and how wonderful those experiences were, and being a volunteer firefighter in the fire service for almost 30 years and all the different things I've done, you do tend to forget about that. So I love that you kind of ask people to remind yourself, what's your journey been? Like, what have you done with your life? And not in a, you know, what all have you accomplished as to a level of importance kind of thing, but just, you know, revisit it, because we forget. We're always on this, a lot of us are on this forward trajectory all the time, and we don't stop and take a pause and kind of look back and look at how far we've come and determine where we want to go. It's a lot of it is just this forward drive, and you miss so much that way.
Hard not to talk about the journey without smiling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of good memories that come up, and it was really powerful for me to think about how I've gotten into that forward motion again, trying to make things happen for the next phase of my life, and how I really just needed to take a knee or take a pause and think about, what have I done and where do I want to go, rather than just barreling on forward. So it does bring up a lot of emotions and a lot of good memories too.
Do you ever consider, and I think this is important to say, do you ever consider the impact that you and me and everybody, those of us of this later in years experience, if you will, have had on the people we've encountered?
Oh, my husband and I were having a conversation about this the other day, because we were discussing my next steps and where I want to go with a coaching business. And there's this thing out there about how you have to know your ideal client, you have to know who you're talking to, and all these things, whatever social media tells you need to know. And I've always been, I don't know how to do that. I don't want to pigeonhole myself. I can't put myself in a box. That's been my biggest nemesis all my life, is feeling like I was put in a box. And my husband was saying, I don't think you realize the impact you've had on people. And I'm like, well, I know I've had a positive impact on my daughters because I've changed certain patterns in our family. And he's like, no, I'm not talking about that too, but I'm talking about well beyond that. He said, look at the people who reach out to you and open up to you. And it's easy for us, especially some of us who deal with imposter syndrome and have like insecurities and stuff, which I think everybody does to some extent or another. But I have always felt like it's hard for me to see the positive impact I've had. And maybe that largely because I'm an introvert. And my, you know, when you're writing is my easiest form of communication, and you don't always get feedback from that. It's kind of like fire prevention. When you're talking prevention and suppression gets the media coverage. You know, everybody sees the trucks and the fire and sees the firefighters and what they're doing and the houses they've saved and the other stuff they've responded to. But with prevention, you don't see the evidence that it's working. So it's kind of a good analogy for how I often look at myself, and I'm definitely not the only one, but revisiting this all in my history this morning made me realize, like, the people I've connected with, such as yourself and other chiefs and other fire service professionals across the province, volunteer, full-time, suppression, prevention, whatever it is, it was an eye-opener for me to think about the connections that I've made. And yeah, it really made me stop for a moment and think, huh, I've actually had a pretty interesting life. It's not as boring as I tell myself it is.
I think with you mentioned you know, like social media and what they're supposed to tell you, and again, know your customer and understand who you're actually speaking or directing to, that I thought the other day that in the day when the newspaper would report a story, take a fire story, here's the incident, here's how the firefighters dealt with it, you read that we never knew what the reader thought. We never heard from them directly with their comments. If you take that same story and post it on social media, then you are now getting those comments. And I don't know that that's a good thing. I don't know that I want my column to be live posted and just say, hey, this is the first time you're going to see it. So right away, I want to get your reaction. Sometimes I don't know if I want that. What do you think?
Yeah, especially in the world we live in now with keyboard warriors, there's just comments that are made that you'd never say to a person. And whether they're valid or not, it is kind of mind-blowing, and how we live in this instant gratification and instant acknowledgement kind of world now. Honestly, I would like to revisit writing again, because I haven't been doing a lot of writing or blogging, but for me, because I got caught up in the whole, especially with looking at building a new business with hypnotherapy, the whole being out there on social media and getting followers and likes and all that. And I had to think about, who am I doing this for? Because if I'm only doing it for the engagement on social media, then that's not the right reason. And I think that's true for a lot of us. I actually routinely now, every Sunday, I call it cell phone free. And I don't look at my cell phone other than text messaging, and I stay off social media, because I found that I was spending too much time on social media, and you tend to lose connection with your own inner voice. Everybody, you put more weight on what's going on around you rather than your internal knowing. So this has been a big shift for me just recently, because you can't hear yourself think when you're so externally focused all the time. So it comes from a very different perspective when you're writing for trying to impress people and writing just to share your kind of view and your knowledge, like we were talking about before we got on air about new people coming into the fire service and sharing knowledge with them.
Yeah, that's what is nice to talk about and sort of put us on the spot here and sort of get a reaction from you in terms of the fact that we work within a family environment. I speak of the fire service family that we have, and some of us, and again, to the theme of know your audience, know your customer, the fire audience predominantly that listens to the podcast understands that we are that family dynamic. And now getting older, you're a grandparent, I'm a grandparent. Reflect on that, the comments you made to me about seeing your kids have kids. And what that, and then we'll talk about the relation to the fire service.
That's just been, I'm a new grandparent. So that has been just an amazing journey for me, amazing experience. My oldest daughter, who's 24, I'm going to get in trouble if that wasn't right, but she just had her first baby. So the baby's 2 months old now. And it's just been such a joy to watch my daughter become a mom. To see things maybe that I've passed down, but also see how she has her own way of doing things. She's very, very independent and she knows what she wants. She's a lot more, both girls are a lot more focused than I am when it comes to a lot of things, but it's just such an amazing experience. It's hard to even put into words. Being a grandparent, obviously you would know where I'm coming from, but it also helped me kind of revisit that time in my life when my kids were young, because I did have postpartum with both girls and it wasn't diagnosed till after the second one. So for a large portion of my life, I looked back on that as with some regret, because I didn't feel like I was the mom that I wish I could have been or wanted to be. And seeing my daughter go through the newborn stage with her baby, who had some issues with colic and different challenges, watching her and her partner go through it, and they're a team, like not the experience I had when my kids were young. These kids are a team. It just made me realize with a different and a deep appreciation for everything I went through. And it's just amazing how you can see yourself through the lens of your kids or in the fire hall, the new people coming in. It's just such an amazing experience to see your journey.
That's the fire connection that I thought about immediately when you get rejuvenated as a veteran member of the fire department. In particular, it could be the career side, but also the volunteer side in particular, where you know, you're not that engaged in terms of it's your job. It's just, I'm helping out. I get involved. I've been here for 20 years, but the rookies come in, the new people that are young and wide eyed, and you start to see the enthusiasm. That's got to have something to do with rejuvenating, if you will, the passion that you had, or many have had, for the fire service in the beginning. Would you agree?
Oh my gosh, yes. We have a new, I say we, because I can't help separating myself from my husband at times, and from the fire service, but he just hired a new firefighter on his department. And I say young fella, but he's 30, but I'm in my 50s, so I'll stick with young fella. But he's actually staying with us temporarily until things get settled down and stuff. So it has been such a joy to not only have somebody else in the house to talk to besides my husband and I and each other, and his enthusiasm for the fire service is infectious. And he's only been into it for a few years, but the knowledge he's gained and the way he approaches things is just, it's amazing to sit and watch this person go through this phase of their life. Like, it's an exciting new chapter, but also seeing the way he is, even around the house. He was out shoveling at 7 o'clock one morning, and I thought, my gosh, what is he doing? But it speaks volumes about him and his attitude. And he takes the same approach to being in the fire hall. He spends his, like, after work, he goes out and drives around town to get to know the layout of the land. And I said to him, I said to my husband, this young fella is going to increase the vibe or raise the vibe of the fire department, because he has such passion for what he's doing. And he literally, it's contagious. Enthusiasm is contagious. So it's such an amazing thing to see.
When did you realize, and I know you did, I'm sure you did, when did you realize that as an instructor, you know, when it first started, that you were actually thinking or actually having an impact on someone that would, you know, I'm going to translate the learning, the knowledge, and maybe some of the passion. I'm sure it had an impact on you to go, yeah, this person's going to do well. And I created that.
I've had people in classes that I would actually almost try and drag them along the associate instructor role. Like, hey, you should think about being an instructor for the fire college, because you're really good. Like, you see that potential in people. And I've always kind of been one to not enforce thinking about fire code, to kind of encourage younger people or new people into the fire service to think about being instructor too, because when you see people that have that attitude and that passion for teaching and learning and sharing knowledge, you know they'd be a good fit for a training officer or an instructor. There's definitely people that I've come across over the years that stood out in my mind for sure. And I think it's those people that help us all kind of remember, whether it's looking back for those of us that have been in the fire service for 30 years, looking back on our journey, or just helping new people come into it. It really has such a positive ripple effect on everybody when you have those people, right?
We've long heard of the demise of the fire service, especially the volunteer side, in terms of the recruitment retention issues, and it's ongoing. It's going to be ongoing for a long time, forever. And I'm curious as to your opinion, having seen what you've seen through the college and through, you know, the new people coming up. What do you think of the state of the fire service, and in particular the volunteer service in Canada? Are we in good hands with the future of leadership?
There's definitely a shift happening in the fire service. I think there's a change coming that's long overdue. And I, for one, love millennials. I know a lot of people have problems with millennials. They think they come in maybe with a self-entitlement, or thinking they know everything, or you can't teach them anything, or whatever the, you know, people I've heard said. And I always loved having millennials in my classes, because they'll definitely challenge you. They'll keep you on your toes, never in a disrespectful way, but they're the first ones to be like Googling something and having an answer if they question something you say. And I think that's good. I think the whole, 100 years of tradition unimpeded by progress. So tradition is important, absolutely, but so is forward movement. And these younger people coming in, they're used to change all the time with technology, and things change way faster than they ever did for us coming up. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a positive thing. In Ontario, we've just implemented mandatory certification for firefighters, volunteer, full-time, career, part-time. And it's been met with a lot of differing responses, a lot of fear from some smaller departments that they're not going to be able to keep up with the certification requirements or the financial aspect of it, and a lot of embracing by other people. My feeling has always been, it's like, why would you ever want to do a job that you're not properly trained for? But a lot of volunteers get into it in small and remote towns and unorganized townships, like we have a lot of in Northern Ontario. They get into it because they just want to help their community, which was the same reason I got into it 30 years ago. But it's a lot different now, because if you're not doing that safely, then that's a big issue. So it's kind of, that's where history and progress are bumping up against each other. But I think it's exciting. It's an exciting time for the fire service because it is changing and evolving in a good way.
I walked into an elevator in the city in Vancouver, and there was a parent and a lady and a young child, and I would guess the child to be about 4 maybe 5, and I'd walked into a conversation where the youngster said, but that doesn't make any sense. And to hear that from a young, I go, wow, like they were talking about whatever, but the youngster said, doesn't make any sense, explain this to me, you know. And that, again, as a 4 or 5 year old, they are changing the times, aren't they?
Yeah, that's funny. I wouldn't expect to hear that from a 4-year-old either. But it's like watching my daughter with her granddaughter. There's all this information out there that she has when it comes to parenting that I didn't have when my girls were young. And sometimes I think maybe it's too much information. Like maybe you're trying to pay attention to too many things. But their body language was one thing she was telling me about, the cues, like this cue. And it's, in my day, it used to be if they're crying, they're either hungry, need their diaper changed, or they need a nap. Like that's basically all it was. And now there's all of these cues to watch for, colors of eyebrows. If they're like, whether it makes them like they're tired, they tend to get red eyebrows, which to me, they were pooping. Like it's changed a lot. But these, all these cues that they're aware of, and these windows they have for waking and sleeping, and it's fascinating to watch. It's not the way I did it, but it's fascinating to watch how things are changing. And that's kind of like the fire service. There is new information. All the peer support teams, the mental health talk, like we know how important that is and how long overdue that kind of support is. Like taking care of the people in the bunker gear has been long overdue. So changes like that, definitely.
I want to come to a close and ask you the obvious question as to, well, what's next? But is there a next? Are there boxes for you left unchecked?
You know what? Right now, I'm actually giving myself permission to take a break. Take a little pause, because I recognized in myself that I was in that forward momentum again and trying to hurry on to the next thing. And one of the most important lessons I've learned in my journey has been to like slow down and rest and take care of yourself and take a pause, look around at everything you've accomplished and maybe where you're going, but also just what's in front of you right now. So I'm happily taking a pause in between my last adventure and my next one right now.
Some good advice for all of us. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate you taking the time and sharing as you've done today.
Oh, I appreciate it. This was fun. I'm glad we did this.
This has been Firefighting in Canada, the podcast. For more episodes, visit firefightinginCanada.com.